Okay, thank you very much for coming and to this presentation. I've actually put the entire school roll on this one slide. This is a very small school. I feature the pupils on the first slide because it is about the pupils. The pupils lead and run the school, and is this the school of the future? But we don't know really, and that's part of my role in just trying to figure out what those schools should look like, what the learning will look like. Remember, in this country we've had a bit of an issue with small schools, with rural schools particularly being closed down, and that sense of community in those small villages are lost. So what we thought, we'll make those schools appear again, we'll start that process all over again, and we'll try to see if technology will make those schools a reality, a workable solution. And it works in lots of different ways. I'll just explain a few bits about that. It's a small and has a bespoke learning environment. It's pupil-centred, that's really important. It's about the pupils. So the whole curriculum is centred around what they want to do, what they want to learn. And they should have different pathways. One of the big problems of the small rural schools, you had maybe only 10 pupils in that place, maybe less. And in that space, you might have several different curriculums running at the same time as a parallel. So how do you teach a Key Stage 1, Key Stage 2 and a Key Stage 4 pupil all in that same space? Well, we have that same issue here, but when you take away that teacher-directed, teacher-delivered model and put in a pupil-centred model, you can start with a pupil and start building a curriculum where they can go and find out the answer and they can have interface with other schools or other teachers using technology. So this isn't about the local space, this is more about the global nature of the school. So we've got a personalised curriculum. They can pick their own pathway. It's about choice. They choose what they want to learn. We've got, in this school, we've got young Amy here, who's already about to start her ICT GCSE course, but she's only year 8. That's the other important point in all this. We don't have years. We don't see the pupils as a year 7 and year 8. They're just pupils in their own right, but they're all on different pathways. Technology-rich led curriculum. That seems to be important because that, remember, in terms of only having 5 pupils in the school, how do they have a sense of community? How do they have a sense of interaction with others? How do they engender a social, how do we have a need to be social with other children, other people? So they have a personal computer each. They use a piece of software called iChat and allows them to do video conferencing from their desktop. That's another important aspect of what we're trying to do in the school, trying to give and empower the pupils to be in control of that future. This is quite a shift from a video conferencing suite where you might go and book that with your ICT technician or ICT manager and try and establish that connection. Well, our kids are finding those connections out for themselves and they're able to make that happen right on their tables, you know, on their workspace. It's a community school. We involve the local community in what we do. We bring in art specialists into the school because they already exist. You know, we don't need to go and employ them. They want to be part of the community. We just make use of them. The other important part of that is that we use the local schools in the area. So we don't have to facilitate all of their experience. We might, and we do, we use Beauhunt School, which is just literally 10 minutes down the road, a big secondary school, and go and use their science lab. Why would we want to recreate a science lab in our school when there's one just around the corner? And it's the same for other subjects like music or art on some occasions. So why did we start Stepping Stones? Why did we have a very small school? Well, the real reason behind all those children we had on the front screen had this condition of hemiplegia. So they have a need, and they were all once in a mainstream setting. They were disaffected from learning. So we had to try and create an opportunity where they could be provided with something different. We created something small. We know that small works. We do think and believe that small communities of learners is more important than the big factories of learners that Stephen often talks about. This was a study I conducted several years ago now. The Wellcome Foundation found that 60% of children with hemiplegia or cerebral palsy grow into adulthood with some psychiatric issues or difficulties in life. And one of our remits is to change that. Now, we could probably change that we are changing it for the five pupils, but how do we do that on a more global or national level? We do that with technology. We start interfacing with all the 10,000 other children in this country alone and join them into what we're doing. So this is the building. It's actually quite important. I don't know if I can wander with this. I probably can't. But I'll just cut to a better picture just down here. And what I can do here is I can zoom in. And the key things, this is the classroom setting. If you look at the attention to detail is important. We looked at the design of the learning space. If you notice those curvy tables, very insignificant, but really important when you start thinking about what the pupil's actually doing. And you'll notice that the outside curves of those desks promote collaboration and working together. Whereas those inside spaces might say, look, this is me working on my own. I'm just kind of focused, doing some independent study. So you want a kind of a mix and a range of different sort of learning styles of formats. And the whole thing, just in passing, you see those arches, you might see those more familiar in a church. And that's because it is a church. We've converted it into a school for children with hemiplegia. But that school could be for other groups of learners. We don't have to be fixed and centred around one particular group. This could be for others. It actually could be a mix. And that's some of the outcomes of the project. We discovered this isn't just for, you don't have to have a centred particular group. Okay, so I said the pupils are really important, and they're really important for a real reason, genuine reason. Others might consider me as a head teacher of a school. I don't consider myself as that. Thanks. I think the important thing to remember here is every member of the community of the school is on an equal footing. So I have just as much say in the development of the school as the pupils do. That's really important. And so we set up these opportunities where but those discussions are held off-site, they're held online. Pupils go home, they connect up with their personal laptop computers, and they use video eye chat to join those groups together. And the opportunity that technology affords us to do is no longer are we restricted to holding that meeting within the physical space, but we can bring in other experts into our virtual community, so we can run, if we wanted to find out what happens in another secondary school, or we wanted to find out something more specialist from somebody, we can bring that person into this online space. I talked about the partnership with local schools, and this was just one example where we're taking our children to a bow hunt school, a big comprehensive secondary school. We're using their science lab, and it works really well. We're using their staff, their resources to help us facilitate a science lesson. And then we looked at that, we took that, what we did in the science lesson back to Stepping Stones, and the kids said, well, hang on a minute, why don't we capture that, we record it, because we're pretty hot on technology. And they did that. We took it back to Bo Hunt and said, look, have you seen this? You know, have you seen what we've been doing here? And now they're using it as a resource in their own classes with their own teachers. So there's definitely some, we're not sort of feeding off of the schools as such, there's definitely this interchange between us and them. And this phrase, helping to help each other, is really important. I showed that diagram because some years ago I started some research looking at a distributed model of learning, and what we have here is several clusters of sites together, or nodes, a bit geeky these terms, but imagine stepping stones as one of those nodes. You see at the top there a building located at the centre of the community, might be a bank or a post office or a church. Well, that's us. And that school might only be as big as 10, 12, 5, and the other two nodes in that cluster would have an equal number. And together, joined with big video walls, you could walk up to a wall and have that interchange with another child, and that sort of almost exists as a class in itself. And together with the three clusters, enough to feel to become a node. We're not at all restricted by their geographic location. Time zone might be an issue, but those other clusters could be in completely different locations around the world. So we're on this journey really, and we want to replicate what we have at Stepping Stones in other centres and for other groups of children. This is interesting. I was here on the stand yesterday, and I was talking to somebody from Qatar, and they came and they said to me, so how successful is your school? How successful is your school? And can you give me some data about your school? I said, well, not really, no, because actually we're not, what can we measure about their success? Are we going to measure the number of smiley faces every day? Or are we going to measure their attendance? We could do, but actually what we found is if you just watch and observe some of what the pupils do and how they present themselves and what they report about themselves, then you start to build up a portfolio or profile of their development and how they feel about themselves. So just taking one example here, Dan, rather interestingly, when he wrote about himself, he didn't have much to say, to be honest. And remember, these are children who have been disaffected from learning, so they're a bit shy and a bit unsure of themselves. Now if you read his profile on the school website, he refers to himself as the on-site ICT technician, so that kind of does me out of the job. and Photoshop tutor, you know, this is a growing list of stuff that he can recognise that he can now achieve. And just in passing, I'm a pupil at the school, he goes on to say. And that's a really nice way of looking at the way he's changed over the time that he's been at Stepping Stones. So, if you wanted to kind of learn more about what we're doing at Stepping Stones, and want to see if you want to learn a little bit more about our approach to schooling and the changes in the future of learning spaces, come and talk to me. Happy to answer your questions.